Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate and I'm here with my co-host Amanda. And today we want to talk about shifting consciousness and how we have the choice in any given moment to choose our reality, our perspective, and have a different experience of our lives. And we really want to discuss today how, you know, this idea of how much are we not allowing ourselves to shift in dramatic ways because we believe simply, or the mind believes, that we can't. We are much more powerful than we've ever learned, been given credit for. And it really does come down to our conscious awareness, what we are allowing our minds to think, the beliefs that we hold. And we can challenge that to have, as we just said, very dramatic, different experiences of our lives. And we're going to talk today about some experiences we've had, tools that we have used and that you can use to really become, in some ways, a master of your experience. So Amanda, excited to chat to you about this today. Before we began to record, we had a little discussion about, you know, particular time that we're experiencing life through at the moment, end of January 2025. And, you know, we've had many conversations so far this year about what we're going to experience in 2025, the potentials of a lot of change, a lot of chaos, a lot of crazy, a lot of challenging things that may be going on in the larger collective out in the world stage that can, I think, depending where we're coming from, trip us up and poke at our fears, and you can, you know, pull us into states of despair or feeling hopeless or helpless. But for those of us, I believe, on the awakening path, we know that that doesn't have to be the case. We're learning the skills of discernment and awareness and have a greater ability to choose what we are focusing on and learning how to be the masters of our experience. So today, let's talk about some other ways that we can really be shifting consciousness, and that it really can be very, very simple. So where would you like to begin today?
Well, I think to begin, let's start with your story that prompted this conversation based upon a book that you and I, you've read more of than I have, but that we were going to base this conversation around. But really, like, what your experience was as something that you took away from what you received from this book, and what was the experience that you had? And let's start there, and then let's see where it wants to take us.
As Amanda said, we have been reading a book called Letting Go, The Pathway of Surrender by David Hawkins. And he is, I believe, credited with mapping the levels of consciousness. And he's got a really amazing way of talking about each level of consciousness as it rises from, I think, shame to love, love being the highest one. I did put a little
tag. That goes beyond love, but love is like
enlightenment, is the highest. Yeah. Yes. From shame to enlightenment. He has another book, Transcending the Levels of Consciousness, that goes deep into each of those levels and what we experience. And this particular book, he talks about how in the lower levels of consciousness, particularly from pride down to shame, how we experience our sense of limitation, how fear shows up for us in each of those levels. And in some cases, that's where we get stuck. We could get stuck in anger or resentment, and how we just project that out into the world. And then that is our experience. But when we begin to work with letting go and surrendering at these levels of consciousness, it helps us move up the scale of consciousness. And eventually it gets us to the place of courage, which is the first stage out of the lower vibrations or the way he's mapped it. And really when we step into courage, we step into the I can change, I can do something different, and it just goes up from there. And so it was a really fascinating book to read. I haven't finished it, but I did get to reading through all the ways up to enlightenment and a bit further than that. And so I've been having these experiences pretty much every night before I fall asleep where I get hit with some existential fear. And I'm laying in bed going, oh, where did that come from? And I don't know why I feel more vulnerable at night to my fears. I don't know if you experience that as well. But the lately it's really been about fear of survival and safety and security. And last night it was literally around finances and money. So we live in Japan and we've lived here for quite some time and we've got quite a few properties here that we've bought over the years, and we're in the process of selling those. And, you know, that's part of our future, to sell them off and have that cash to do other things with. And so last night I laid in bed and I went into this fear state, like very, very deep existential fear of like, well, what if we don't sell? What if we don't sell? What are we going to do? And, you know, we've got people interested, but we haven't crossed a line yet. We haven't signed a contract yet. And then it also comes back to patience and trusting divine timing. And, you know, when you want something to happen, every second of the day feels like a week. But anyway, coming back to this fear, it really overcame my physical body. And it's a, for me, fear state was what led to my awakening. So I have a very strange, I get very triggered by fear because I have lived in what fear state for a long time that took me to a place and a breakdown that was hard to deal with. So when I feel that kind of really deep fear, I get scared of the fear and I don't want to go into it. And so I also know that I don't need to feel this fear for many reasons. I can probably go on a whole topic of that. But I laid there feeling this fear and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with this? I've just read this book about, you know, letting go and surrender. I'm going to try it in this moment. And so I'm feeling all this fear and that crippling cold feeling. That's what fear feels like for me. It feels cold. I feel empty. I feel contractive. I do feel like kind of like just completely helpless and like, holy shit, what if that happens? It's overwhelming. And so I was like, okay, I want to shift this. What fresh perspective can I hold of this? And so in my mind, it just went straight to, well, why don't you try and look at this from love? And I'm like, okay, let's look at this from love. And I was really surprised by what came next. So I was like, okay, how can I see this situation from the perspective of love? And all of a sudden, my heart just kind of filled up with love. And I heard a voice in my head be like, well, think about these people who are interested in your properties. Like, how exciting is it for them to potentially be on this verge of like their next project, being able to buy your land and develop their dream and then create these homes or, you know, business that, you know, gets them to move out of a life they're living because somebody's moving out of IT into this and, you know, take on this next stage of their life and an adventure. And then these other people that want to buy a home, like they get to make memories and have, you know, literally imagine them sitting in the living room looking out at the snow with like children, and it's a lot of snow here, and like the fascination of the children and the joy and getting to go out snowboarding or skiing and coming home. And I was just like overwhelmed by this feeling of these people who I don't, some I know, some I don't know, who are going to come and buy these properties, and the joy and the love that surrounds what I'm offering. Here's an opportunity for love to exist. And so even now as I'm explaining it, I can feel that literal raise in my vibration of like, how exciting is it that I have things that I can sell to someone else that's going to bring them so much joy? And I'm just like, wow, that happened in an instant. And I was able to lay in bed and like even feel it right now. Like, I truly believe that. And I can hold that perspective. And the thing that's really fascinating about this book, and when we are able to move ourselves from a lower state of consciousness to this higher state of consciousness, and like, I believe it, I feel it, and it's completely valid perspective because it's true. Just like the fear is true, or it's a perspective, this is true too. This is real. from this place, you know, and it's over and over again, it keeps saying like the level of what the thoughts are in our mind that we're holding, that's what we're going to receive. You know, when we hold on to fear for too long, we're vibrating at fear, and fear is a match for fear. So, you know, this is why we want to talk about this, because this is how we are essentially creating that different experience of our lives. As we keep saying, it's so vibrational. So that was the experience that I had. And I am really fascinated by how fast it happened, how genuine it feels in my body. And like, I get to choose that perspective over and over and over and over again. And something that I found really valuable, just to wrap this up, is that your visioning exercise that, or your offering that you put out earlier in the year, that has helped me to create a vision of what I want for the year, record it, and I listen to it every morning. I'm going to re-record it with this because it's so energetic and I feel it so deeply in my body. And I'm going to listen to that every day because this is actually the energy I want to bring to it. And then one last thing, what I thought too is I want to reapproach the website where we're selling our properties with this energy, selling from this place of here's your next home, here's your dream, here's your opportunity, right? How can I tweak some language and maybe just infuse that into the website so it's coming from this higher vibrational energy than, oh, I got to sell so I can move on. And like, you know, like it's so, so different. And both perspectives exist, I believe. They coexist, the two pathways, like train tracks. We can have that experience or we can completely have another one, and we get to choose it, and it's our perspective. So that's what I'll start with.
I mean, I can just envision how the energy that you are living in, ruminating in, existing in around these properties, it's hard for us to sometimes see how that is projected out or how that is felt, and how I can just imagine that your energy, this different energy, you put, infuse it into the website, you infuse it into your vision, and then that vision infuses you on a day-to-day basis. You start behaving differently. Maybe you start talking to people differently. Mm. And that, you know, it's like, it's going to set off this ripple effect of the universe conspiring for your properties to sell, and not just sell, but, you know, the experience of it is going to be, it's not going to be just a transaction of money, right? It's going to be something much more where you get to see and experience and imagine what the love and the beauty that's going to exist in these properties that you guys poured so much energy and time into, to get ready to be a next person's home. You know, that's just like, it's this ripple effect that, you know, I think on the surface, people can be like, well, how can just doing that change your reality, right? But it changes everything. And and that's just the beginning of how it starts to change. Mm-hmm. And you were able to do it. It's like, we can decide in an instance, like, it's not, your house hasn't sold, right? Mm-hmm. The property hasn't sold right now, but it's on its way there, right? Mm-hmm. It's on its way to sell. And I love that. Like, in one of Joe Dispenza's books, he talks about this woman, and she just had the most terrible like situation that she was in. I don't even remember all the details, but it was like, it was a terrible situation. And I think for a lot of us, when we're in a dark, low place, it's hard to imagine that our life can be higher on the scale of consciousness, right? And experiencing love and joy and prosperity and abundance and all the things that like feel like a full life. It's really hard to imagine those things when we're in lower states, states where, you know, and I talked about this, like momentum, it's like it happens in both directions. It's like when we're in a lower vibrational state, like we spiral, it's easier to spiral downwards. And when we are on the other side, it's the spiral happens in the other direction. And so the further we spiral downward, the harder it is, can feel to get out of it. But something that stuck with me from this story that he told of this woman, it was like, she chose in a second that she had changed, and it didn't, her circumstances did not change in that moment, but she started to imagine herself as the person that was in a different place. And then she consciously and unconsciously began to take the steps that transformed her life. And I believe she went on to like being like a huge transformational story for him. And I think she actually works for him now. Mm-hmm. Like she's mm-hmm. such a, like this, mm-hmm. this person's story was so remarkable, but we can't, it's the change, the shift can happen in a moment. And it's our perception of reality is what shifts. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. what takes us down a different path than yes. the one that we're on that yeah. either is stagnant or it's not moving in the direction that we want it to. So I love that you're seeing now, like you're seeing all these different ways that you have the power, you have the ability to affect your mm-hmm. circumstances too. And it's not just only you, right? But you're doing things that the universe, other people are going to start to help you and support you in this co-creative process of helping you sell these properties. And thank you for sharing that example. And I think a lot of people can likely relate to a story like this, as far as, you know, we have our fears, like we all have fears mm-hmm. around things that where maybe we feel helpless. We don't feel like we can, maybe there are patterns we've been stuck in and we don't feel like we have the ability to change where things are going. And sometimes all it is like a shift in how we feel in a moment. And it's a shift because we chose it. And then it's a reminder. It's like that in every moment we can choose. Do I want to choose to live in this lower vibrational state? Do I want to choose to believe I'm a victim, that I cannot shape the path of my life? And when we believe that, then we are that, right? We behave mm-hmm. like we have no power. Mm-hmm. And so having that tangible moment where that click, where it's like, I did this and my experience shifted, and it can be so profound that in every instant going forward, when you know, it's not that you're never going to feel that way again, but you're mm-hmm. going to remember this moment in time where mm-hmm. it's like, oh yeah, I'm feeling that. Okay. What can I be with that? And then where do I want to be and what do I want to feel? And then it just becomes easier and easier every time we're feeling those feelings for us to shift and choose something different.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is he talks about these lower states, these lower vibrational states, you know, shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride. And that's going from the bottom to the sort of top of the lower vibrational, the levels. And he talks about, as a particular chapter where he talks about how do people respond to us from those states, you know, because, you know, we hold an energy, like when we hold guilt, you know, there's a certain way that we act, you know, we're wanting sympathy, we're wanting someone to, you know, we're putting hard, we're being really hard on ourselves. We're thinking other people are hard on us. You know, we actually feel like a drain on other people's energy. So they don't want to be around us, which makes us feel more guilty, right? So it perpetuates that lower state. You know, the other states, like even anger, like, you know, depending how it's expressed, like it pushes people away. And so it perpetuates more of that anger, but it's all self-directed. It's very ego-driven. And so when we think about it in the terms of like what we want for our lives, if we are operating in these lower places, like that's why it feels so hard. You know, that's why it feels so challenging when we have got guilt or we have got shame or we are in a fear state. Like I really think about my life prior to, you know, my own awakening, and there was so much fear. There was anger. There was grief because I was grieving an old life. There was like so many of those feelings happening at one time. And I tried really hard to mentally overcome them. And I can remember, I think I've said this before, like waterproofing a bathroom, had a paintbrush in my hand or a roller, like going through every tool that I had of like just trying to like reframe my thoughts and say things in a different way. And there's just so much going on that it just fueled it and took over. And my life was a direct reflection of that. The people that came into our lives, like the challenges that came into our lives. And, you know, I got the vibrational state I held, just pulled people out of the woodworks. It felt like I've never met such horrible humans in my life. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? You know, and I contrast that to this time in my life where I'm able to hold a high vibrational state. I've moved through that. I had an awakening. I have a greater level of peace, of much more self-acceptance, self-love. And so that is my baseline state that I see that reflected in the interactions of people I have with my life. You know, I've met you. We have a mastermind of amazing women. I have all these connections in coming into my life that are a reflection of the vibration I hold, which is now up in that upper level of layers of consciousness, which feels so life-giving to me, you know, and it's able to help me move forward and experience more joy and more abundance and, you know, to grow and to move forward. And so, you know, it's our work. It's our work to recognize when we are in those lower vibrational states, because that's really where our healing comes in. And this powerful tool that this book talks about is like, it's letting go. And that might sound just let it go. But really, it's just let it go. You know, it is about acknowledging the feeling that we're feeling. And it's not to deny it. And we've often talked about, and I always say, like, meet what arises with curiosity and compassion. And in that moment, you've already shifted up to hold what you're experiencing lightly. He talks about, you know, I think he was a psychotherapist, or he was something in that realm, where he realized that the talk therapy only went so far, but learning how to let go worked at that deep emotional level to just move that out of the way. You know, that's where we're really clearing out the energy that we're holding of shame. And really, it is just choosing to see what we're experiencing from a different perspective. And we have that choice to choose a different way of viewing things that have happened to us, the beliefs that we hold about ourselves. And it really is the awakening journey to question everything that makes us feel or keeps us stuck in those lower vibrational states or feelings. Our power lies in our ability to question it and choose again. You know, choose a different perspective. Another example that I can give you of that is that the other day as well, you know, I was thinking about my own work, and, you know, I haven't been very active on social media. I've got new things I want to bring out. And I had this moment of fear again, but my own personal fear of, like, you know, not being able to do it or not knowing how, and that crippling, overwhelming sense of like, oh, it's so much work to figure it out. You don't know what to do. And then I sat there and I was like, okay, I don't want to feel that. How can I see this from a different perspective? And I went through this process of like thinking about, you know, what did I think about? First and foremost, I thought about, okay, what are the tools that I have to help me, you know, make this easier to, let's say, get out on social media again and say the things I want to say. I worked with a woman last year who gave me this wonderful toolkit of like ways to take one idea and break it down into many different ways that you can communicate it. And I was like, oh, if only I could use that. It was so hard at the time. And I'm like, well, yeah, it was hard. It was new. It was new. That's why that felt hard. That in and of itself discharged some of the overwhelm I felt by acknowledging, you know what? It felt hard because it was new. But there's an example in your own life of when something's new and it's hard and you do it repeatedly over time, it gets easier. Podcast came in and I'm like, okay, we had a strategy of like, let's make titles like this and thumbnails like that. And it was a lot to get my head around, like how to write in a certain way that sounded like captivating, or come up with these slogans. And I can remember at the time thinking, oh, this is so hard. I can't do this. But I've got my own social proof in my life of like, well, when you stick at it, it gets easier. You don't even think about it now. And I was like, oh, that chipped away at some of that fear too. I can learn something new and it becomes easier the more that I stick with it. You know, and I went through this process of like reviewing this fear and like breaking it down step by step by looking at what is in my control. Who am I? I'm also someone that likes to try new things. Okay, this is nothing different. Up I went to the point when I was just like, oh, how exciting is it that I get to use all these tools that I've got and maybe create all these new ways of like sharing the things I want to share. And I lifted myself out of that contractive, overwhelming fear state of like, oh, it's so hard. How am I going to do this? You know, so it's like our power lies in our mind and the perspective we want to hold, and like our ability to just look at it and ask ourselves questions. Like, we all have that power.
Yeah. How hard is it to create something when we don't believe we can? From that lower vibrational state, right? Mm-hmm. We doubt, we question. Like, it's so, I mean, I've been there as far as like, oh, yeah, I can see it, but it's like climbing a mountain that when you're let your legs are injured, you know, that's what it's like. That's a lot different experience than when you're trained and you're in shape and like completely different experience. And in the first instance, you're not likely going to do it because you're going to go a little bit and then you're going to stop and you're like, this is too hard. And so we have to, in a way, like prepare ourselves to, we have to do the things we want to do. We need to, and think of it, oh, it's like almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a hygiene in a way. It's like an energetic hygiene. If we want to create things, if we want to step into new versions of ourselves, like we have to be aware of and clean our energy, clean our energetic, see what beliefs are keeping us heavy and down and suppressed. And then, like you said, like be curious and be like, look for examples. Where have I done something like this before? Like, what is different then from, you know, I was successful that time. Like, what was I feeling then? Okay, let me try to put me in that energetic space, because right now I'm not in this energetic space to be there. And I mean, just going through the process of what you explained, it's like the more that we do that, obviously the easier it gets. Like, we don't have to, it's not as much work to get us to the place where we can be in the energetic state to create the things that we want to create, to do the things we want to do. And so it just takes a little bit of the wheels turning for us to remind ourselves that we can do these things, right? So another thing I want to talk about is that you mentioned the mind, and really I think it's letting go of the mind, like the constant, incessant chatter of the mind that I know I was operating under for a long time, unaware. I might have told this story on this podcast, but I don't remember. So I'm going to just share it again in this context, is that, you know, when I first, you know, I worked with ayahuasca over 7 months, I did 11 different ceremonies. And the first two, I went in and it was a cool experience. But then when I went in 7 months later for my final four ceremonies, I looked back at those first two ceremonies, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was just like, it was like a ping pong ball in my head, just like of all these, I'm just like thinking about, like observing, like constantly like analyzing everything about the medicine, like just so hyperactive in my brain and so unaware of that my mind was just dominating my experience. And so, but then I went through the 7 months of, you know, I did some other work like inner child healing work and more breath work and a lot of different things I implemented over these 7 months. And I was like, oh, I'm in my body. Mm-hmm. And I let go of that need to, you know, it was maybe a protective mechanism or something as far as why I just was in my head. You know, I'm very an airy person energetically from my astrology. So that could also be, I just needed to get into my body much more. And so letting go of that aspect of me that was preventing the receiving, the feeling, the just presence of my experience. And so, yeah, I think that getting into our body is also, I can think it can be hard for people to do that because I think the leaving pattern, right? Where we like check out of our space is like a coping mechanism that some of us have, that we tend to go somewhere else, right? Like live up here. And if we don't feel what it's like to be present in our bodies. And so that's a process that, you know, it's not, can't think our way through. Like, how do we let go? It's like, in a way, like we have to do somatic experiences, right? To be able to let go of our need to hold on to our thoughts. And I don't know where I was going with that, but that's what came up as far as just this. For me, that was a big part of my journey, is recognizing how long the mind was dominating my life experience. And that was my learned way of being, almost a protective mechanism. And so what, I guess, coping mechanisms do we use? Like, that's part of the self-awareness journey, is beginning to see, like, how do we, what are our normal patterns, and choosing in a moment to respond in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful, because it's the mind that creates the noise, the drama. And, you know, as I said before, like that experience for myself where I got myself into such a overwhelming state of fear, it began with thoughts in my mind that just got so overloaded that it just became my primary experience of my life, and I couldn't see beyond it. And, you know, as you said, there's two parts to the self-awareness. It's such an important part of the process, and it is our self-awareness that gives us the ability to see the mind in action, to see our ego, to be able to connect with our inner child, to also be able to come back into our body to feel the emotions. And I think that's why we escape, is because that's where we feel all the crazy sensations, and we're like, oh, I don't want to feel that. So we like go back up here, and like off we wander. And I wanted to share that I have a masterclass series coming up next month, which is diving into exactly all of this. And it's interesting you said that, you know, through your ayahuasca experience, you're able to look back and see how your mind was so busy. And then over time, you know, through your inner child work and like coming back into your body, you come into this different state. And in the masterclass series that I have, we go through the four main parts of who we are. And in my experience and the work that I've done, is like our ego and mind, that heavy, fearful voice. When we're really aware of how that's operating in our life, for us to be able to work with that, essentially we need to be able to work with our inner child, because our inner child healing is what helps us to relieve some of that noise, because it's coming from those experiences when we were younger, our inner stories, our wounds. So how do we create an awareness of that? How do we work with that? And also then creating this new relationship with our bodies, because it is when we are more present and in our physical body that we can access stillness, peace, and the higher self, which is the fourth part of the masterclass series, is who are we when we're not fully in our minds, fully in our fear? That's when we can access that love with greater ease. That's where we know our purpose. That's where we can feel our path. That's when we're really feeling our intuition guiding us. We feel a greater connection to life. And these are four parts of who we are, or like to kind of think of them as skills that we build to really have a sense and a strong sense of like, this is how I work with my inner world. I know what parts at play here. I know what to do and how I can bring myself back into alignment, because there's so much fear outside in the world. A lot is changing. A lot of us are awakening, and it's so heady and so noisy. And so our power lies in our self-awareness and our ability to work with these parts. So for anyone that's interested in learning more about that, that will be launching next month in March. And I have a wait list at the moment, so we'll link to that. But I wanted to also say that something else that he says in the book is that, you know, our desire and our wants are things that keep us wanting and desiring. So they actually exist, and desire is one of the lower vibrational states. When we desire something or we really want it, we're saying and energetically saying, I don't have it. And so we don't have it. We won't have it. And so again, it's this process of how do we learn to, you know, want to change and grow or have these other experiences, but we have to let go. We have to let go of how. We have to just let go and be like, you know what? I'll be completely fine if it happens and completely fine if it doesn't. And that was another thing that I applied the other day was, you know, we essentially, coming back to my original story, wanting to sell everything here and like move abroad again, start a new adventure, another part of the story. And at the moment we're looking at Italy, and I notice that I like have this, I really want to go, And it's like, okay, I'm going to apply this too. And so I think I was laying in bed once again because all these kind of deep existential fears keep popping up at night. And I'm like, okay, well, what if that didn't happen? What if we had to stay here? Actually, I could be totally okay with that. And it was such a beautiful feeling once again to neutralize one fear of not getting to leave, which has been a fear that keeps coming up. And, you know, I want the change. I want to go. I want it's exciting and new because I love that. But then this want is a fear that it won't happen. And it's also an energetic of like, I don't have it. So for me to be able to like allow the space and whatever is to happen to happen, I would have to come into a place of neutrality with that. And so that was really a beautiful feeling once again to go, no, I genuinely can hold that space, that place of neutrality or equanimity of if I get to go, wonderful. If I have to stay, I'm going to make the most of it. And I genuinely can feel that too. And it's so nice of like, well, whatever happens, I'll make the most of it. And I just love even saying that because it's like, that's actually kind of exciting. What would I do if I ended up staying here? Like if I made the most of it, how would I be different? And I kind of think to myself, I'd probably go out and meet more people, which is essentially why I want to move. So it's like, wow, how interesting that, you know, I can hold that perspective and either way enhance my life. It's not pegged to some thing happening. I can choose my own happiness now and I can create it now by holding a more neutral position on all of it, even the things that I want.
Yeah. Because when we're trying to create the future from where we are is not good enough. We never actually know how to be happy with what we have because it's never, nothing's ever perfect, right? We can always find a reason to complain or be unhappy or, and so how can we look at the blessings in each moment and how can we be content in the moments that we are in? That's the practice because then it doesn't really matter what happens in the future, right? Because you've created, you know, you want more people in your life. You want more connections. Like it doesn't matter where you are. It can happen.
No. Yeah.
Right.
And it's I have the power to create that.
Yeah.
It's not some other country that's providing it for me. It's me that provides that for me.
Right. And yeah, it's interesting creating my vision. It's less about the physical. Yeah, there's some physical aspects about it, like situational things that I have in there, but it's more about the feelings. It's more about, and therefore, how can I create these feelings right now? How are these feelings already present? And so it's almost like there's less of a longing for something that I don't have. And it's a reminder of like, to create it today in some way, shape or form. And I feel, so I feel like what I have, I'm enjoying more, I think, from that process. And so, and in that way, it's like, we don't need a lot of times the lives maybe that look good on paper, we're chasing because we think they're going to solve our problems. And, you know, I experienced that like, oh, when I get this degree, I will have arrived in my life. And that happened. And I was like, oh, I'm really not the person that I thought this was going to make me. But I had to go on this other journey to really learn what that looks like and what is it that I really want. And, and so it's like, what are we chasing? Are we chasing things? Like what's underlying the reasons for why we may be going after something.
Yeah.
And those are things that we have to examine and work through.
Yeah.
Through our own self-examination and cultivation. And so none of it's wrong per se. It's all part of our process and getting to be more at peace with like who we are and why we're here. And so it's all good and part of the process, but yeah, I think that desire, that longing, right? It is from a place of lack and it is from scarcity. Yeah. And so how can we focus on what is how much we do have in this moment in time?
Yeah. And that's a powerful vibrational shift. That's us moving up that scale of level of consciousness to, you know, beyond courage, beyond neutrality, into acceptance, you know, and even a love of the life that I have. There's, you know, it goes deep into what we experience at the level of love, and it's pretty awesome. But even us moving up to acceptance of like, look, wow, look what I do have, you know, and then again, what we create from there, what we do from there, what we experience from there, how people react to us from there is completely different. What did I want to say? I was going to say.
I can go.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share about my experience. I might have mentioned this before, but it was probably a long time ago. So a story about when my mom was, after she passed away, and I went through the grieving process before she actually died, and I came to acceptance of her passing at least 2 weeks prior to her passing. And so I had this really beautiful weeks with her, knowing that she was going to die. And what came from that state was this, I can't really explain it with words, but this crazy state of gratitude. And I don't know if gratitude's on that scale, but where it's very high in terms vibrationally. And so it is weird and wild to be in such a high vibrational state after my mom passed away, which felt weird, felt odd. And at the same time, I was at peace because I knew that I came to terms with the fact that we're all going to die at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And I was appreciative of what I was able to have, even if, mm-hmm. you know, it's acknowledgement that life is not perfect, but I loved that I got to be with her, and I loved mm-hmm. that she got to be in my children's lives. Like, I'm grateful that that hadn't happened 10 years earlier. I'm grateful that when we had a strife in our relationship, that we healed and I forgave her like 10 years prior. And so all these things that I was grateful for how it all happened. And it's like when we can be in that state, even though, you know, someone very important to you died, it just shows you that there's not just one reality. Mm-hmm. And I think that is an important lesson for what a lot of people may be experiencing right now, because I think if there's a lot of people in a lot of fear right now, and I feel that in a way we can choose to be there, right? We can choose to focus on things that are fear provoking. There's always been things that are happening right now in the world, always. But we haven't always given them our attention. Mm-hmm. And so they might feel bigger, right? And fear is used as a mechanism by, you know, powers that be to keep us from ascending, from being in higher vibrational states. And so these things that are happening in the world are meant to keep us down rather than allowing us to live in higher states. And so I think of it like the movie, the book, The Hunger Games, where it's like, release the killer bees, right? Like, they're starting to feel a little better. Let's release something to elicit mm-hmm. more fear. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that's done. And if we notice, more and more things are, you know, what is it this week? What is it next week? And if we continue to simply divert our attention from the fear eliciting event of the week, yes, there are bad things happening in the world, and we also get to choose where mm-hmm. we give our attention. It's how some of us are not affected in the same way as others, right? It's because, and so what can people do, right? If people are feeling fear, I would say, first of all, is recognizing that we are in a state of fear mm-hmm. and recognizing we don't have to stay in that state of fear, that we can do things to move ourselves out of fear. And our energy and our attention is like our greatest assets right now. And if your attention is going to things that are making you feel terrible, it's up to you to make a choice that I'm going to stop paying attention to this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of me and my nervous mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. And because really it's just going to continue. It's just going to continue. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you're in a spin cycle of the washer machine. Like you're just going around and around and around, and it's exhausting. And so I think what we're talking about is a way for people to get out of that spin cycle, right? To begin to make a choice, begin to become aware of like, what are the things that I'm giving my attention to that are helping me stay at this lower vibrational state, mm-hmm. that are maybe not allowing me to create from the state that allows us to live a life where we aren't feeling despair and hopelessness and helplessness and shame and guilt, and to really heal from what we're here to heal from. Like we're really here to recognize that we are the creators of our own experiences. And mm-hmm. so we get to opt out. We can opt out. We don't mm-hmm. have to play in this game. So I'll pass the baton to you on that.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, you know, the thing that comes up for me is like, we can say no, I don't want to play that game. You know, we have that power. I want to have an experience of my life that doesn't feel fearful. And just as I gave that example at the start of like, you know, feeling fear about what could happen for something that I, you know, is happening in my life, I can either be in the experience of fear around it, or the same experience, I can be in the experience of love around it, joy and excitement. So just to simplify it is like, we have that power, you know, like, yeah, okay, there might be like a loud noise outside of us screaming fear, 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 fear this, fear that, fear this, fear that. Okay. Like that's what you want to focus on. I'm going to look at my life and look at how awesome it is, how much potential is in it, and remember who I am to create a different experience. Your life, you still want the same things as you did when you focused on fear, but this time you shift into the lane where you actually make it happen for yourself, because you're in that level of consciousness and vibration where all your power is yours. As you said, our awareness and our attention is a source of power, and fear pulls that power from us, makes us powerless. You have the opportunity to say, no, I'm not giving my power away anymore. Shut that door, unplug, and pull all of your power back into your physical body, your energy field. Choose your perspective, choose your path, take the actions you want to take. That's going to carry on despite, you know, and it's going to try and get your attention more and more and more, and you have the power to choose, you know, and in that choice, your vibration raises, your level of consciousness raises. And it's even as he says, he's mapped this energetically. I don't know the technique that he's used, but he keeps referring through both of the books to calibrate at some level of frequency.
Might be scalar. Uh-huh. Might be it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's scientific. This isn't just woo-woo. But, you know, like, choose. We have that power, you know, and, you know, I really feel genuine excitement and joy around the things that I've been able to work through in this last few months or a few weeks, where fear, like deep, deep fears, scary fears, overwhelming fears keep popping up, kind of like something gets its hand right deep into the really scary parts and pulls it up and goes, oh, look at this, this could happen. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Well, how can I see that differently? And it feels so empowering. And I'm not just trying to like bypass deny the fear. I see it, but I'm going to have a different experience of the journey. Simply that, you know, like, yeah, okay, that could happen, but this could also happen. And like, this is how I'm going to view this experience. You know, fear isn't going to provide us with any potential or, you know, ideas or fresh ideas or new ways to innovate. It's going to paralyze us, you know, and we do, we lose our power. And so coming back to your awareness and your choice, and, you know, this is your life.
Well, fear is really here to keep the world as it currently is. 100%. All the messed up effed up stuff. If you want to change the world, stop living in fear, because exactly. That's what's perpetuating it, right?
Yeah,
it's you know, I understand. I've been there as far as like, but I can't not look away because then I'm not carrying it. It's like, no, you can't. The whole concept of the oxygen mask, you have to put on your oxygen mask first. We can't change. What is it? Einstein, maybe, who said it was like, you can't fix something from the same energy where it was created.
Yeah.
And so if you want to fix this lower vibrational existence on a collective level, start with you.
Yeah.
You start raising your own vibration, your own frequency. You affect those in your environment and you make a difference where you can. You can't make a difference of what's happening in another part of the world that politicians are doing by worrying about something and fearing something and hating something. Like, that's perpetuating the thing that
low
you
vibration.
Don't want.
Yes.
Right. Go ahead.
He speaks about it too. And when he goes into the level of consciousness of love, he said, even just us holding or projecting love onto someone we've remembered we can't help. We can't help other people fix their situations. It's part of the letting go. Everybody's here to have their experience. How can you just love them, even when they might be choosing something that's destructive for their life? Because that's their choice, right? You have choice, they have choice. So love them anyway. And you loving them instead of worrying about them or like hating them or resenting them, you are actually providing a higher vibration to them that does have an effect, because the higher vibrations have an effect on the lower vibrations. So that's a powerful thing you can do, is to genuinely allow people their experiences and love them anyway. And again, there's some neutrality in that. Like, I get to choose, you get to choose, we all get to choose, and let go of the judgment. You know, let go of judgment, because when you're judging them, you're judging you. So then you're going back down. You know, it's that lack of self-love. There's no self-acceptance. You're in guilt or you're in shame of the things you've done. So forgive yourself, move on, let it go. Love yourself and love everybody else, because that's how we're going to be influence and influence on that other thing that's happening and running and that program that's running. Like, choose again, choose again, choose again. And as this has sort of taught me, it's like every time it pops up, okay, great, okay, wonderful. How do I want to work with this? And like, work with it, hit it, face it head on. How can I see this feed, you know, with a different perspective and just play with it? You know, underlying most of the things that come up for us, you know, is fear. And if we get deep enough into it, we can come back to love, and then we can see our fear from a place of love. And that's such a different energy, or the thing that we want for someone. I'll give one last example. I was talking to someone who's also reading a book, but it's called The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. It was actually our friend Helen. And she was saying one of the tools she shares in there is the five whys. So asking, why do I feel this? Why do I feel this? Why do I feel this? Five times, or enough times to get to the root cause of it. And she gave this example of a wife, the husband's overweight. He comes home from work, sits on the couch, watches TV, you know, drinks beer, whatever. She really wants him to exercise. So she's telling him, you should be going to the gym. You know, that makes him feel apathetic and, you know, feel shit about himself, and he doesn't do it. I'm simplifying this example, but then she's like, okay, so why do you want him to go to the gym? Well, I'm worried about, you know, his health. And if he just sits there, he's going to get more overweight. Okay, so why are you worried about him being overweight? Because, you know, it's putting stress on his heart and he might have a heart attack, you know. And she keeps going through these, but why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about that? Because she gets to the bottom of it, is because if, you know, if he continues down this path, he's going to die. And I love him. And so when she realized that it's because she loves him, she's like, well, how I love him. Tap into that energy of love. How would I treat him if I loved him instead of nagged him from my fear of him dying? So there's another beautiful example of how, like, get underneath the surface of that. Yes, there's fear, but underneath that, how can you come back to that place of love and then shift into, okay, same situation. How can I then, what would I say differently to him or whatever, myself, from this place of love? What actions do I take? And again, when we are giving that energy of love to that person, they don't feel nagged. They feel loved. They want to act up to that love. All right, I can see that you're lovingly, you know, approaching my health from this way rather than nagging me that, you know, you're fat, you're going to die, right? Making him feel shit about himself to him actually feeling loved and being maybe even motivated to take action. So our ability to shift that within ourselves is not just beneficial for ourselves, but for others. And it is a ripple effect that we can't truly understand, but it has so much power to change our lives and other people's lives. And then eventually a larger experience that we're all having.
Yeah. I mean, I think as you've spoken to the process that you've explained that you've gone through for yourself, it's like, we are transmuting these energies, right? These are energies that we've inherited through our family lines, through society programming, and we hold them in our body. And by going through these processes of like having this fear come up, seeing the fear or whatever the lower vibrational energies are, by us working with it and choosing something else, we are clearing these energies out. And then by doing that, we can hold a different energy for other people, right? And I think about someone who is a certain way, maybe lower vibrational, in a lower vibrational state. They're that way because that's what they received, right? And so if we're able to hold a higher state in the face of a lower vibration, you know, we're doing our own work. And so we're able to hold a higher vibration despite or in spite of how another person is, right? That is an experience that that person may not ever have had before, where they were that way and they received love as a result, or and they still receive love. That's a new experience. And that shifts, that will change them.
Yeah.
That is not a template that they've ever witnessed before, right? And so that's how we, by doing our own personal work, that's how we can change the world. And that person, like that sticks with that person. Like that's, it can, it's it, one instance can be that profound. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we change the reality that we're trying to fight and resist in this moment in time. We don't do it by perpetuating our perception of how bad things are. Like the more we go around talking about how bad things are, we are allowing that reality to persist. And so and it's an invitation to consider, to question, to ask yourself, what do you want to create? Do you want to, it starts with you. Your reality starts with you. And so if you're on repeat as far as the same story, the same narrative going over and over again, I know what that's like, so I'm not judging. And so do you want to, if you stay there, things aren't going to change, right? Like things are just going to continue as they are. And so it's up to us to take the exit off of the cycle that we're on and choose a different trajectory.
Yeah.
And that's where we get to transform things. And so whoever you are, whatever you're feeling fearful about, whether it's the world, whether it's your personal situation, it's like, get curious, use Kate's story as an example, as a template of what can I do in this moment to shift? Because we can shift it in any moment in time.
And I'll just say too that whether it's 1 degree difference, 10 or 15, that one is so powerful because that 1 degree over days, weeks, months, years is a completely different trajectory, as you said, to the one that you're on. So it doesn't even have to be that massive shift. It can be one level of consciousness and keep working because you're moving yourself in a new direction, literally. And the more that you apply these, the easier it gets. And that's what it is. It's, you know, becoming skillful and masterful with our inner world so that we are the ones in control and we're not swayed by things outside of us. We're sovereign in that sense. So we'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, experiences. Leave those comments anywhere that you're listening. Thank you for a great conversation, Amanda.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.